The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. It is 9 a.m. Made it to a Saturday morning on a great morning. 45 will be the high today. Sunny and cool, 45. Tonight, 22. Tomorrow, 52 degrees. It will be a Sunday and back to work Monday. Spring begins, and 55 will be the high. I'm Peter Boyles. This is Radio Free Denver, Saturday morning, 710 KNUS. Before all of this begins, and he's sitting in studio, we have been friends, and I was trying to think this through. When you said you come on the show, which made me really happy. We had lunch together 3 months ago, maybe 3.5 months ago. You and I and Bonnewell was there. I think Bonnewell bought, which was rare. No. How long have we known each other?
Oh, boy, we've known each other for a while now. I think our first meaningful interaction was when Joe Salazar called me the half-Latino.
And I called you the half-blood prince.
Right, right.
And there was a time in a, and your mom's Latino, and you know, if you ever meet Dave, he looks, you know, you could be one of those guys that maybe he's an Italian guy, maybe he's this guy, you know. So, and you were not Latino enough. What was it that did they charge you with?
Right. I think Joe, he used it as a pejorative when I was trying to advocate against sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
That was really the first thing. And we called him out, and he kind of got into some big trouble for saying it. It was a good experience, though.
And so I took from Harry Potter, the Half-Blood Prince, and dubbed you the Half-Blood Prince. Do a quick bio so people know who you are, what you've done before this all begins.
Sure, you bet. Prior to becoming the chair last week, I served in the Colorado House of Representatives for House District 15. Did that for about 6 years. Kind of made a name for myself as a bomb thrower against Democrats, a combative legislator. But I did it because that's what my district demanded, and you know, those are the values that I held. You know, and I'm not going to change now that I'm in that role. I'm very laser focused on exposing the extremism and radicalism of the Democrats, and it's a new day. We're going to go on offense as the Republican Party, and we're going to try and win.
Now, something that I wanted to tell you before this all begins, I was hoping you were going to lose because I like you so much. When I knew your, as they said, your hat was in the ring. And there was quite a lineup of people who wanted to chair the party. And Chuck and I are very good friends. We argue quite a bit, but we're great friends. And I did not say it to Chuck, but I said it to myself. I hope Dave Williams does not become the chair because of my affection for you and my caring about you. And now here we are.
Yeah, here we are. It's okay. Had I lost, it would have been just fine. It's a tough job, whoever takes it.
What's beyond that? It's not just a tough job. I mean, I've been reading about it. You you said you wanted to be a wartime leader, if I read that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Against whom? Who's the war against?
The war is against the radical Democrats.
You know, and the war is against your own party.
Well, yeah, we definitely have division. We got to work on that front, for sure.
Did you keep Tina Peters as an advisor?
I offered a role for every one of those candidates. That was a campaign promise that all of us made when we were asked about it, because a lot of the members of our party wanted to know if we were all going to work together because they felt that it was a tough decision for them to make on who they were going to support. So everyone has been offered a formal role that is yet to be determined exactly on that title for Tina as well as others. So far, three other candidates have expressed interest, and we're working that out right now.
I mean, I look at the Republican Party in the state of Colorado, and it reflects the state of the Republican Party in some other states as well. I mean, you're not alone. But how do you expect to bring this party back when the man who probably will be arrested on Tuesday and everything that goes with him, he was defeated by I believe, 14 percentage points in this last go-round, and you, in essence, almost dedicate the party to him? the Republican Party of Colorado?
Well, I mean, the Republican Party is it's not dedicated to any one person. Like, I've personally supported Trump in the past. I think he's done wonderful things, but my new role as chair, we're not picking sides. There's not going to be any attempt by the party apparatus to tip the scales in favor of one candidate over another, especially in this primary.
But I've heard some speeches that were saying exactly the opposite, that we're a Trump party.
Well, I always said that we're not going to apologize for electing him. We're no longer going to be in a defensive posture. He was elected. He did some great things. Now's the time to move forward and defeat the Democrats. And that's really all I've been saying.
Okay, what's Donald Trump's role going to be? Because this is what I witnessed in this run-up, is the stench of Donald Trump and the people inside of your party that were, many of them were at your convention or your gathering, stabbed a lot of people in the back or in the front and stopped them from winning. There was a rift in the Republican Party that I don't know if it can be mended. And they stopped their own people. They crib-deafed them. Mm-hmm. They had stillborns. And you know that happened, and you watched it. Now, being a wartime consigliere, you know, Pop had this guy, I got you, right? What can you do with that?
Well, I think we need to fix our fire and our focus on the Democrats first and foremost, right? Everyone likes to pay attention to what's going on in the Republican Party, but here's the sad truth. The Democrats have all the levers of power. They control everything, and we need to be focused on how they're ruining our state. If we can do that, that will help unite us further. The other thing that will unite us are our shared common interests. We have a Republican Party platform that most people, regardless of what faction you may be in, they're going to be able to get behind, whether that's limited government, lower taxes, less spending, certainly tackling these issues with crime that we're facing, especially in the Denver metro area. If we start to focus on these things and start aligning ourselves with what the voters want, then I think just being about that mission is going to bring about unity in more of a way than you've seen in the past.
Do you really believe that? That the things that I've heard Tina Peters and others say are going to unite people and say, okay, we're going to do this for Donald. We're not going to do this for Donald Trump. We're going to do this for whom?
Well, again, our party apparatus, the actual party itself, is not going to be engaging in who should be the victor of the presidential primary. That's up to the candidates. It's up to the voters decide. We're going to have that primary early next year. And it's not something that we're focused on. What we're focused on is figuring out how to, of course, put on a good caucus and assembly, because that's our stash.
But you've closed the primary.
Well, we're definitely going to pursue closing the primary for sure. That's something that the Central Committee, the party wanted, that was adopted 2 years ago. We're still, for whatever reason, not pursuing it. That was a promise by all the candidates that ran for chair that we're going to pursue that and try and close those primaries. And I think it makes sense. When you look at the history of the open primaries that we've had, you've seen Democrat interest come in and meddle in our primaries, whether that was in CD3 with Lauren Boebert or whether that was in other instances where an organization ran by the former Speaker of the House, a Democrat, was spending money to manipulate votes for their preferred Republican nominee. We can't have that, and so that we are going to pursue that.
My new column has come out in the Chronicle, and I made a copy of it to show you. And the title of it is "When the Truth is Found to Be Lies," which was a great slick line from the Jefferson Airplane. But I took the picture of the slapping that took place at the Academy Awards, and I put your picture. Well, you can take a look at it. You're seeing this for the first time.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about being on Will Smith, but I get it.
And who are you slapping? Can you see that?
Yes, this is the Academy Awards scene where Will Smith is slapping Chris Rock, and it, you know, there's an establishment Colorado GOP on Chris Rock, and then Will Smith, it has my name on it. It's funny, but I think Will Smith was wrong to do that.
So at the end of the column, I write, "Now watch who will be next." The answer is, "Fake talk radio is next." And the best to Dave Williams. I write this, it will be out. "The crown prince of what's left of the Republican Party in Colorado. Good luck, Dave. You're going to need it."
That's for sure. I am going to need it.
I mean, you really are. And I mean, I'll say this. I said it when we opened the show. I really didn't want you to win because of how I care about you. Because this is going to be a you're hanging in a coalition right now of some, frankly, some pretty nutty people. And if that coalition comes apart, and in fact, you guys destroyed the last chairman, not you, but the last chairman was destroyed. And things that were said about the woman running for governor about her plastic surgery and her face. I mean, the things that were said in the back of that pickup truck. Would you condemn those people?
Well, sure. Look, we shouldn't be engaging in that type of talk, right? I mean, if we have policy differences or if we have differences on strategy, that's one thing. Let's vigorously debate on those things. But if we're making fun of our gubernatorial nominee's, you know, appearance, that's beyond the pale. That's not what we're doing as a party.
Have you had conversations with those people and said, knock this off? By the way, if you just joined us, Dave Williams, Republican chair, newly elected Republican chair in studio, Peter Boyle, 11 after 9, and good morning. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. During the campaign, there was a strong movement to go against Eric Adland, for example.
Who's a nice man. He's a good man.
Yeah, and I stated as much, and I want to work with him, especially after this part. But I received communications and phone calls about how he was supposedly against closing the primary. Mm-hmm. And they called me up, and they said, hey, can you please talk against that? And I said, well, guys, I can't refute something he never said. Yeah. He was always for closing the primary, and we shouldn't be lying about our opponents. And so those types of conversations have certainly been had by me, and they'll continue to be. If there's fair criticism, then yes, let's go ahead and engage with that. But really, we shouldn't be focused on ourselves now. We need to be focused on Jared Polis and his lapdog Democrats in the legislature.
Can you beat them?
Yeah, I think we can. I think we can. We don't have an alternative, really. No, I mean, the alternative is we just keep doing what we've been doing and losing. So let's go after them and really, you know, stick it to them every chance we get.
There's a great line from politics: unless you win, you can't rule. And you don't, not you personally, but the party doesn't have a big history of winning. What's the last statewide office that the Republican Party won?
Oh, boy, that was probably...
was it Heidi?
Heidi in 2016.
Regent, became regent, which is kind of a minor play.
Right.
Other than that?
I think it was Cory Gardner in 2014. That's when he became the United States Senator, and then we haven't won since.
That's how many years now? 9?
Oh, boy. That's, yeah, 9 years.
So, you weren't driving the truck when all of this was taking place. And now you are.
Right. Right. And that. And
What did your wife say when you came, honey, I won?
I think it was.
Same reaction.
Oh, my gosh. Best of luck. I wish you wouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
And you're right, because a lot of these guys get chewed up, right? Oh. Regardless of how good or bad or whatever their intentions are. They could have been, you know, some of the best chairs we've ever had. They're always going to get criticized because this is the toughest job in politics, given the fact that the party just traditionally isn't in control of a lot of things. To your point, right, if Donald Trump is our nominee or if Ron DeSantis is our nominee, that's going to have more sway on the attitude of the voters than what I can do.
What's it called? Down ballot, right?
Right.
Yeah. No. And, you know, when I first got into talk radio, it was the time of William Armstrong, who I thought was a really good man. I wrote for him, and he ran the Republican Party. And Tancredo will talk about it. Guys on, you know, Wadhams talks about it. The old-timers talk about it. And Colorado was a red state, and the governor was red. And that man, Bill Armstrong, ran this state. What happened after that, where it all falls apart? And now, you know, whether I don't know who, Jared Polis runs the Democratic Party, and he, I don't know if it's an iron fist, but I think it's probably pretty tight. And I'm hoping that he'll kill the heroin injection sites that you and I worked against that together.
Right.
So what do you make?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Jared Polis does. He does rule the Democrat Party with an iron fist. When I was in the legislature, you had a number of Democrats, probably the majority of them, who did not like him.
Oh, absolutely.
They wanted to support his primary opponents when he ran. And when he got into power, he had an undue influence on the affairs of the legislature from the executive. And he would threaten vetoes. He would threaten primary challenges privately if they didn't support him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's how he's ruling the parties through straight fear right now. Because there are a number of folks who would probably vote against some of the things that are going on. But
what I've watched is nobody in Denver, I don't care how far to the left you are, they will not critique it.
Yeah.
I mean, the gun stuff that's going on right now and heroin injection. Do you see any Democrat coming out against this stuff that's being foisted by the Democrats?
There's probably a few that are in the competitive seats that need to be mindful of how they're voting. But
they're not vocal.
No, they're definitely not going to be vocal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a sad state of affairs if we're relying on Jared Polis to stop some of this radical stuff.
Well, he stopped heroin injections the last time. I mean, it was over the President's Day weekend. We've talked about it. And I think the heat was on and he stopped it. Now, my understanding is he has presidential aspirations. And I don't know if he want to be the guy that's out there that says, yeah, I okayed heroin injection or meth injection or whatever the hell they shoot. And I think, first of all, I think he probably, well, I hope he will kill this. But if not, oh, my God, they're, now that fight's really on.
Yeah, I think he will ultimately not go along with what they're proposing. He does have presidential aspirations and will certainly make a huge issue out of it from the party point of view, so we can kill it.
All right, do you want to take some calls?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, here's what we'll do. It's 16 after the hour, and as I said before, I was hoping, don't let Dave win because I like him so much. It's Saturday morning. Sunny and cool, 45 will be the high today, 52 on Sunday. Monday, it's 55 degrees. Lines are open, 303-696-1971. And when we get into open lines, as you know, Donald Trump has now announced he believes he will be handcuffed, I think. They're talking about that. And arrested on Tuesday. And this is the signaling that he has done before. He says, protests take our nation back. It's a January 6th signal. And then wait for the grand jury in Georgia. That's going to play hell. And then see what happens in Washington, D.C. Trump's done. And we can talk about it. A good man, Dave, is here. David Ellis, another good man. You heard me telling you about taking valuables to David Ellis Jewelers to get a fortune in cash and secure an appraisal from David. I saw David yesterday. Of all the valuables that you have tucked away in your home, and it's still true. Let me share another reason to see David, just in case you don't have the Rolex or the rare coins or the silver tea set. See David for all your most meaningful gift-giving occasions. David's Jewelers and the guys that are there, both of his sons work there. The right items at just the right price for special people, and that, of course, is the most. Antique watch, an emerald pendant, gold necklace, or a diamond ring. This trusted jeweler has been buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. Dazzling cases, the jewelry cases filled with hundreds of new and use pieces your loved ones will treasure. Visit David Ellis and see for yourself. Look for the black awning on a quarter and third in Clayton. And David's there this morning. Explore DavidEllisJewelry.com. E-L-L-I-S. DavidEllisJewelry.com. Call my friend David. 303-322-8779. And tell David Peter Boyle sent you. Good morning, everyone. It's 22 minutes after the hour of 9:22, 710 KNUS 45. Today, sunny and cool. 52 on Sunday, Monday, 55, and Dave Williams is here. And before the show started, I had a really good phone conversation with Danny Kaplison. Dan, of course, the only attorney in Colorado history to win five straight multimillion-dollar jury verdicts in automobile crash cases. He's a good guy, and he had some concerns, and we had a really great conversation. Dan Kaplison is a very decent man. He's got these great partners. These guys are former DAs, and they have all kinds of good courtroom experience. Highly successful firm, a great lineup, including deputy DAs who use this tremendous courtroom experience to help survivors of serious crashes. Kaplis Law, they believe that talk is cheap, experience counts, results matter. The firm could be happy to share with you its track record of outstanding jury verdicts and out-of-court settlements. Danny's law firm believes that who you hire says a lot for you. And our family went through some things, and Danny was there, man, and I've told this story. You know, after Dan's had, you know, his family time and dinner would be at night, and he would call, make sure everything's okay. And that speaks volumes. The firm believes its core values have been the foundation of its great success, faith, integrity, hard work, and dedication. If you need that help, give Danny a call at 303-907-5003 or hit dankaplislaw.com at CAPLISLAW.com. If you're just joining us in studio, punch the button. It's Dave Williams. Last Saturday, Dave became the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. And, you know, it lies in rubble and lies in ruins. And I said this as it began, and he and Dave and I were talking off air. I legitimately didn't want Dave to win, but now he has won. And can you feel a weight of this, by the way, that you have to bring this thing like the Phoenix bird, you know, out of the ashes?
Yeah, for sure. It's a weighty responsibility, especially when there is no other statewide Republican official that you can point to. Heidi is no longer a regent. Mm-hmm. Prior to that was Corey. And so now it's fallen onto me to a certain extent to be the voice of nearly 1 million Republicans, and that's something not to take lightly.
We were talking, a very close person to me. We were having our corned beef and cabbage night, and everybody knew that you were coming on the show. And these guys are, you know, right of center. They're not the lunatic fringe. They're right of center guys. And how can you win them? Because elections are won in the middle. They're not won by the Tina Peters supporters, you know, naming names, or Tina Peters, or the kinds of guys that take rifles and shoot copying machines or whatever the hell that Hanks character did. This is not the stuff that's going to get you across the finish line. How are you going to do it?
Well, I think it first starts with figuring out what our marketplace wants. We have to go to the voters, whether they're Republican or unaffiliated, and we have to start asking them, what are the issues you care about most? Jared Polis, for example, created a whole new executive department called the Saving People Money on Healthcare Office. And he didn't do that on a whim. He didn't do that because he's quirky. He did it because he had empirical evidence, polling data to suggest that 70+% of the voters cared about that issue. If we start aligning ourselves on that stuff, we'll make some gains.
All right. Now, I'm going to do this. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. With Dave here, what are your issues? For lines are wide. Actually, there's two lines open. 303-696-1971. Tell this man, who I have immense respect for, what the issues are to you, and you know what's the reality of it. But what I watched was anti-vaxxers, Trump won, conspiracy theories on voting machines. That was the theme of the Colorado Republican Party, and those who did not adhere to that insanity. They were smothered in the bed. They were smothered, rather, in the crib. You know, they never got life's blood. They never got anything but attacked themselves. So what do you think the principal issue right now that Coloradans are, you know, upset about or would back you for?
Well, in terms of issues, I don't think we have a clear answer on that yet. I mean, we can kind of guess on what we see, especially coming from Democrats. But healthcare is a huge issue. Accessibility, affordability, that's a big one. Crime is becoming an ever-increasing one.
Huge.
Especially in the Denver area, and as we talk about heroin injection sites. These types of issues are, I think, we need to be addressing and we need to be aligning our party with on policy solutions while demonstrating the Democrats are out of touch and incapable of actually delivering on whatever promises they've made.
You know, if you and I, we've talked about this, we'll go to the phones in a second, I always like prize fight and analogies, but sometimes fighters lose fights and sometimes fighters win fights. And you were beaten. And you got to come back. And the true mark of a champion, and I think you have that in you, is to bring it back. But you can't bring it back. You can't bring it back in that clown car that they were all riding. And you have to, you got to be Jimmy Hoffa taking over the union. You know, you got to make purges. You got to get rid of people.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to be about, first and foremost, what the voters care about. We're going to be about their issues. And if anyone doesn't want to be a part of that program, then they can look at the door.
Good. You ready to go?
Yep.
Let's go to work. All right. We'll go to Ben. Ben, you're on a radio show. Dave Williams is here. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, Dave. How's it going?
It's going good, Ben.
I would actually first like to know, what actually is the Republican health care plan? Because, you know, it's should be something other than repeal Obamacare, but there hasn't ever been a solution ever offered, like, since then. And I'm wondering, what is it?
Sure, sure. Well, a good friend of mine, his former state representative, his name's Patrick Neville, he ran a wonderful bill on price transparency. One of the problems you see in Colorado, although it's getting better now, with the passage of that bill, but all over the country, are folks who simply don't know what they're paying for. They'll sign a lot of documents, and then, you know, a couple months later, they'll get some sort of surprise billing, and they'll say, "What is this?" Right off the bat, what Republicans in Colorado have done while working with Democrats, but what we should do nationally is we should try and make sure that people are well apprised of what they're paying for, the services that they're taking in, the medications that they're trying to get their hands on for whatever health needs they have. They first need to know exactly what they're paying for. If you had to go get gas at a gas station, but you didn't see prices posted anywhere, you'd probably be scared on what you're ultimately going to pay for. So that's one good area that we could focus on to help, you know, drive costs down and increase accessibility.
Well, to address that real quick, how is that any different than what Democrats are proposing? Because everything I've heard, that's a bipartisan proposal that Democrats support as well.
I agree with Ben. That's pretty much what I've been listening to on both sides. Is that fair, Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so what separates you? What's the actual Republican healthcare policy right now? Because so far what I'm hearing is you guys don't have one.
Well, I think the difference between not only on that issue but the other issues that that are involved in the healthcare debate is that the Democrats like to approach it from a mandated point of view, where they want to use government to inject itself into the healthcare debate and how healthcare providers provide their services. What we should do is we should start to untangle the healthcare system out of what it is now. It's not a free market system. You have regulations, you have certain bureaucracies that.
How do you sell that, Ben? This is Peter. How do you sell that to a middle of the road voter? I mean, how do you go to somebody? Because elections are one in the middle. We've been over this thousands of times. And you don't have to, you know, there are the yellow dog Democrats and then there are the Republican hardcores. But the middle of the road is where you got to win this. Ben, do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree that things are one in the middle, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the issues.
Thank you.
Healthcare is a big one. And healthcare isn't like other, like, I always hear Republicans talk about how healthcare should be just treated like any other marketplace, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Because, like, if you have a heart attack, you don't get to go shop for your ambulance. Say, oh, oh, you're charging $3,000?
That's
oh,
true.
But let me call yeah. another guy.
I took that ride.
Let me see what he's charging.
Yeah,
take whatever you're given.
And you probably well know I took that ride in March out of here, and they don't.
It's not like other markets.
That's a great line. I'll steal that from you. It wasn't like, wait a minute, what do you charge? Like, hey, get that other guy over here. No, that's a great line. Give me the next one down from healthcare. From the next issue that you can, that concerns you after healthcare, to back to Ben.
I feel like we should have basically just preventative care that should be affordable to most Americans. Like, for example, like, if you need to go see a doctor, just a general, you know, general practitioner, and get something like an antibiotic that costs $20, like amoxicillin, that's not a very expensive prescription, that saves money over time rather than getting a cyst later and having a major infection that is going to make a surgery and cost way more money down the line. I don't understand, like, why people don't want to support, like, funding that sort of preventative care.
I couldn't agree more. A big reason why you see that type of stuff happen is you do have big pharmaceutical companies that are interested in making sure that generic medications are not really an option. So I think we can tackle some things at on a policy level to make sure that we're getting more of those options out there.
Ben, thanks for the call. We'll go to Fred. Fred, you're on a radio show. Peter Boyle is, of course, our special guest, Dave Williams, now Republican chair. It is 9:33. Fred, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Mr. Williams. I'm a senior, and, of course, the issue for me is property taxes. And with the new assessment that's coming up this year, it's going to drive property taxes crazy. And what I think would be an interesting thing for the Republicans to run on is starting to raise the exemption for senior homestead and veteran exemptions.
Oh, wow.
Because those have gotten so, the appraisals are going to come in high, and all there's going to be tons of seniors that are going to be struggling as well as veterans. And so I think I'd like to see you guys deal with that. But also, looking at property taxes in general, they're just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be a formula that restricts it, because, Mr. Williams, if I'm sure you're aware of this, every time the property taxes go up, those mill levies, they just make more and more money, and they've done nothing to earn it. So that's my issue.
Fred, this is Peter.
Yes.
Have you voted, or do you vote Republican? And again, you can say none of my business, and I'll accept that. But do you vote Republican, or have you voted Republican in the past?
Yes.
Okay. So you're already there.
I'm there, but yeah. I want to see the Republicans.
Fair enough.
Peter, this is not an issue that's a Republican.
No,
or a
I know.
Democrat.
And neither was the last. The health care thing is, that's why it's smart, because it affects everybody.
Right.
Yeah. No, your point's well taken. But let me come back. What do you think? Are you close friends with any Democrats? Or are they anybody in your family that doesn't talk to you anymore?
My family doesn't talk to me anyhow.
That's right. Boom. Yeah.
Now, you know, Peter, I know a lot of Democrats.
Yeah.
And, of course, more my friends are more seniors because I'm 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that they are also concerned, because especially when you're on a fixed income and you're seeing these property taxes go up, it's just like these stupid fees for license plates.
Oh.
Every time those fees go up,
yep,
and you're on a fixed income, it gets to be a greater hardship. And there are going to be more and more people, especially here in Boulder County, that are going to get priced out of their homes because they can't afford to pay the taxes.
Dave.
And yet they've done nothing to deserve to have to be driven out of their home just because a lot of people have moved here and will pay outrageous prices
right.
for housing.
Right. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, we made this mess in the legislature. Not me. I voted against, you know, what they did. But with the repeal of the Gallagher Amendment, which really kept...
Boy.
Kept those assessments down for residential folks. Now it's insane.
It's Katie bar the door now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there are attempts in both parties to try and get a handle on that. But I do know, as it relates to the exemptions that you talked about for seniors and veterans, there are Republicans who are pushing that type of policy change, and they'll continue to do so, and we'll support it.
Fred, what one other issue comes to mind for you?
Well, I'll tell you one, and I mentioned it briefly. These fees, when you see all these fees, you know well that the Supreme Court of Colorado ruled that you don't have to vote Tabor on fees. Mm-hmm. And when I get my license plates and I looked at all the different fees that are on there, you have two fees alone for bridges. And you have a fee for a clerk hiring fee. And you have a standardized training fee. First of all, what are all those fees for? How did they get there, and where did the money go, and has it been used effectively?
Well, my time in the legislature, I think this is one of the great abuses of the government. They've figured out ways to get around Tabor by calling a tax a fee, and if we're going to be successful at kind of reining that in, we have to, I think, have to do a ballot measure at this point where we clearly define that fees and taxes are the same thing, and if we're going to raise fees, then we're going to have to go to the voters.
Amongst your friends, what do you hear about guns? What do your friends say about, because there is an enormous gun grab about to take place here in Colorado. Dave's nodding his head. What do your friends say about firearms, Fred?
You know, Peter, that's a topic I don't really hear much
okay.
about with my friends.
All right.
Because I think most of my friends are Second Amendment type people.
Okay.
Whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Because I'm mostly around farmers and ranchers
mm-hmm.
and people like that.
Well, they're already there, yeah.
Exactly. Now, I'm sure there's a segment of the people that are really opposed to it. And I just look at these Democrats when they're doing this stuff and going, what the hell is wrong with you? Excuse my French.
Right. Well, as it relates to the gun debate, you even have prominent Democrats like Leslie Harrod saying that these policies are not going to actually
work.
Yeah, it's not going to work, right? And these issues are never going to work. What we need to do is we need to start giving support to our law enforcement community. We need to not defund them as the Democrats want to do, and instead we need to give them more tools and more training, and we also need to look at what we can do on the mental health front to
guns
prevent
are,
these
guns
problems.
Are going to be a big issue. They really are. Second Amendment, and we talked about it last week. So the Second Amendment is your only constitutional right that you have to ask the government for.
Exactly.
It's really interesting. And
well, you know the old joke, you know what a conservative is?
That's a liberal just got mugged.
That's right. So I think what we need to do is go mug a few more of those Democrat legislators.
Fred, do you know how you can tell a Tesla driver?
Go ahead.
Don't worry, he'll tell you.
By the way, thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, 303-696-1971. We got a pause coming. In studio, the man who now runs the Republican Party state of Colorado, Dave Williams. 303-696-1971. We're talking about what are the front burner issues for you. For me, it's almost like you need to purge, like the old Bolsheviks, purge the party and get some fresh faces, have people around you that are not internal fighters and people that have backstabbed people. And so how are you going to bring the big fundraisers back? That's another one.
Right. Well, the big issue here is that they were already given a strategy by the leaders of the past that clearly didn't work. $15 million in the Senate to have a net loss of two seats when they were expecting gains, I think
that was
big
Trump. And that's really what happened. I mean, the stench of Trump again, the big red wave that never got here.
Well, I think if we're gonna really assess that, we really need some empirical polling and data on that stuff. I know people like to say that, especially like Dick Wadhams, like it's Trump, it's Trump's fault.
It's true.
But what I think is striking is when you had someone like Joe O'Dea say that, hey, I don't want Trump's endorsement or things of that.
What he did, he threw a Hail Mary, and you and I both know it. When he got to the end, they were looking at the numbers. He was down 17, 18. So he threw a Hail Mary. I met the guy for the first time. He's a likable guy. But he threw a Hail Mary because he knew the stench of Trump was doing what it was doing. And he thought when – I don't know why he thought, but he thought, if I say I don't need Trump, suddenly all these Democrats are going to rush over and vote for him, which was impossible. But no, you can't say that, because if you look at, Dr. Oz's race, or you look at the insanity in Georgia, that was Donald Trump. And Boebert got scared.
Well, I don't think it's as simple as that. I think we really need to dive into this. He wasn't on the ballot. He certainly didn't endorse Joe O'Dea. He went against him. I want to know for sure. I want some empirical evidence and data on that.
Just philosophically, you can look at the places around the country where he threw his weight in and he got beat.
Well, I mean, look, we all had a rough time. I don't care if they were.
That was the red tsunami that never showed up.
Right. Even Trump folks, candidates that weren't endorsed by Trump, they still had a hard time. Some of them didn't.
Because it's all the same now. The Republican Party is viewed as Donald Trump's party. And that's why I'm saying to you publicly and privately, with respect, I want this state to come back to a conservative balance. The way these guys have been operating, not a chance in hell. Sit still. 303-696-1971. We have a line open. And I sat in Dr. McCallum's office this week on Tuesday. We had the best talk. She has saved my life, and she's kept me healthy. I've known her. We're talking 12 years, and I first met her, and I was really going through a hard time. And I met Dr. McCallum, and things changed. Keep you well, keep you healthy. Ultimately, when you listen to McCallum, you listen to Cenogenics. The world exists at Cenogenics. You'll be seen and cared for by the great doctors and the staff at Cenogenics. Receive the world's best age management solutions, helping you achieve your peak cognitive, physical, metabolic health. I'm 80 this year, and just bought a new motorcycle, and I'm skiing Monday, and I go to the gym. I was at the gym this morning at 5:45. Energy. Life's too short. Your health's too precious. You listen to McCallum. Don't settle for mediocrity, long waits, calls you don't get called back. We're talking about health care. Expect the best. Cenogenics, 720-387-3681. Michelle answers the phone. DenverCenogenics.com is the web. 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. Morning, everybody. On a Saturday, great guest in studio, March 18, 2023. Saturday morning, 710 KNUS Weather Center. Weather sunny and cool. It's going to be 45, but the sun's out. 22 tonight. Tomorrow, Sunday, 52 degrees, and then the rain spring, 55, and this first day of spring on Monday. In studio, the Half-Blood Prince, the new chairman of the Colorado State Republican Party, Dave Williams. I think we go to Marcus and Aurora. Lines are full. Marcus, you're on the radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter and Dave. Hey, my question was just, You know, I looked at the Republican Party. I'm an independent these days. But every time you run candidates for Congress, senator, or anything like that, Owens was a good governor, but then you get Cory Gardner or they run Stapleton. What are you doing with some good candidates to run and support the people?
You know, I think what the party can do is they can certainly help identify and recruit and train these candidates up. That's one thing that's been lacking with our party, number one. And number two is once we find these candidates, we have to really drive home the point that this isn't about what you think. This needs to be about what the voters think. And we need to get good evidence to show that we're working on the issues they care about. And those candidates shouldn't be focused on how they think the world should work, but rather, you know, what issues the voters care about most. If we can do that, we're going to make some gains.
Marcus Peter, what is the number one issue to you for the state of Colorado in a political scene?
Well, right now, the number one and two is crime and gun control.
Well,
and without that...
No, we talked about that off
air.
It's
out of hand.
Yeah, homelessness and crime, and they're hand in hand, and Second Amendment. And also,
yeah.
David's absolutely correct about health care. That's education's huge.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, crime is a big deal. It's going to only continue to be a big deal because the Democrats and their policies have made this place into a wacky place.
Oh.
There is no law and order, and we need to be about solving that issue as a party.
And if they get heroin injection through, Marcus, it's over. I mean, it really is game on right at that point.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We both think that Jared Polis will reach out and stop it, but you can only hope. So I'm going to jump. Thanks, man. Let's go to Gary on 3. Gary on a radio show. Special guest is Dave Williams. Good morning. Gary.
Is that me?
Yes,
Peter?
Sir. It is you.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Dave, for taking calls. You know, I judge politicians and someone like you based on the way they think. And I appreciate individuals that make decisions based on data and evidence. And I've heard that you're an election denier. And with all due respect, is that true? Because I haven't heard the specifics. And if so, what evidence or data do you have that convinced you that an election was stolen?
You know, the term election denier, it's a funny one. It's obviously something that the Democrats came up with as a pejorative. But you know who's an election denier? Richard Nixon in 1960 when his election was stolen.
No, because I know that history very well.
Right.
And he... Well,
but I think
he backed away for the good of the country.
I understand that. But what I want to drive home here is that the reason...
By the way, Hillary also denied
that's,
early on.
That's true.
Yeah.
But Richard Nixon had more reason to. But the reason I bring this up is because I know what's going on here in Colorado in terms of ballot harvesting and ballot circulation. The Democrats have figured out if you can get ballots into circulation more often than not, then they can go ballot harvest.
Let's go slow here, because do you think Donald Trump really won Colorado?
No, I don't think he won. I don't think he won Colorado. I don't ultimately know, but I just think it's just too much distance there between him and Joe for him to have won. But if you're talking about places like Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, or Pennsylvania, where we're talking, you know, tens of thousands of votes in separation from that victory, then what I think it really comes down to is bad timing in that we had COVID with mail-in balloting, and then you had Democrats engaging in illegal ballot harvesting to stuff the ballot box. Did those ballots come in and were they counted? Sure. But were they legal votes to begin with? And that's where...
That's not stealing an election. I mean, Richard Nixon's argument was in Cook County. And also in West Virginia in the primary for Jack Kennedy, but Nixon for the good of the country, and Gerald Ford for the good of the country. Gerald Ford then gives Nixon that pardon. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
But Peter, the question is, what evidence do you have?
Well said.
I haven't heard any evidence.
No, and it's belief.
That's a problem for me, Dave.
Well, early on, and this is, we're going to get into this next hour because Trump's going to be arrested. Early on, when Trump was making these claims, and Lindell and all of these different lunatics were making claims people wanted to believe it was the Shroud of Turin. And systematically, incrementally, the shine has come off all of it. And now they sit looking at you, and then they say, well, they ballot harvested us. And I'm going, so in other words, they outsmarted you. Is that what you're saying? And the answer is approximately, yeah, they did. If it is
doable, they did.
Yeah.
You're right on point, Peter, and I know you're coming up to the top of the hour, but Dave, I will say one positive thing about you. I heard you on George Brockler. I was encouraged when you said you'd listen to, what's his name? He's been running campaigns for a long time.
Dick Wadhams. Yeah.
If you listen to him, he's a superstar.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Thanks. As our final couple moments, I need to say this. I feel like Ed Sullivan with Elvis Presley. This is a fine young man. he really is. And I'll close in the hour as I opened it. I was hoping that he would not win because how much I like him. And now he's got it. And on and off the air, I mean, we've had good off-air conversations. You got the puncher's chance. You really do. But you got to hit the right people.
Amen. And that's what we're going
to
do.
And you got to purge the party. And you have to appeal to the middle. And so leave us with something. What would you like to say?
Sure. Well, we're no longer going to be in a defensive posture. We're going to go on offense against Democrats. And the way to do that is to first figure out what the marketplace cares about. And then we're going to be about those issues and laser focused on those issues. We're not going to dream of what we think is going to work. We're going to figure out what they want and then pursue it and then beat up the Democrats every chance we get.
It's an uphill fight. How do you fund all of this? Life's blood of politics is money.
Right. Well, it's going to require the party rebuilding the small donor base because a lot of them walked away, and then also going to the large dollar donors and letting them know we're going to do something different. Big reason why we lost is we didn't throw punches. Mm. I mean, think of a boxing match where you're constantly on defense and not throwing a punch. You're going to lose, whether it's a knockout or on the cards.
Also think of a boxing match when your corner is not helping you.
Yeah, that
was the Republican Party. You went back to your corners and over there with a bucket. You know, they turned on people.
We're gonna support our nominees and we're going to give them the tools they need in order to be successful and help them get across the finish line. But that starts first with figuring out what the voters want and aligning ourselves with them.
This is a really, really good guy. And I want him to come just... Doors open, and you got my phone number at the house, and or my cell phone, and I'd do anything for you because if we don't save this state in the next, I don't know, is it too far gone already? Some people say it is.
No,
I don't believe that either.
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, the one thing about politics that everyone should know about throughout history is that political parties, they come and go, power shifts all the time. Nothing is permanent.
The best one, and he's very ill right now, is Jimmy Carter. After the whole Gerald Ford sadness and then the fiasco of Nixon and Johnson, here comes Jimmy Carter. No one saw Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
4 years later, it's Reagan. And he's my guy. And you think, we need a Reagan guy. But then you ask yourself, with the kinds of people that you and I are talking about on air and off air, would they have supported Ronald Reagan? I doubt it. And that's sad.
Well, it's a good question, but all I can say is it's either we support a Ronald Reagan or we continue to have people like Jared Polis.
There you go.
Take your pick.
There you go. This is a good guy. Dave Williams goes off now, Republican chair, and we'll check in like once a month, you know, do a phone call in or we'll keep you there. Thank you for doing this and get a chance to read that column, picture you. Thanks.
Right. We'll do.
Right.
Thanks.
The best to your family. All right. Donald Trump expects to have the handcuffs put on him on Tuesday. What do you think will happen? And he's saying, protest, take our nation back. That's a January 6th signal. What do you expect to see? It's going to be 45 today and sunny, 52 tomorrow. On Monday, first day of spring, 55 degrees. I'm Peter Boyles, 710 KNUS. We are Denver's Talk Station.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.